Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaHealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed in the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to The Vital Life, Awakening Your Full Potential, hosted by Dr. Carolyn Coker Ross. The Vital Life will expand your understanding of how to live life fully and joyfully by making conscious choices that promote and maintain vitality in all areas of your life. Now, here is your host, Dr. Carolyn Ross.
Welcome to The Vital Life Radio. Our special guest today is Dr. James Greenblatt. He is a dually certified child and adult psychiatrist and is a pioneer in integrative medicine. He's lectured throughout the United States on the scientific evidence for nutritional interventions in psychiatry and eating disorders. Dr. Greenblatt is the founder and medical director of Comprehensive Psychiatric Resources, an integrative psychiatric practice near Boston, and he's an assistant clinical professor at Tufts Medical School. He has two books, one called Answers to Anorexia, and the second, The Breakthrough Depression Solution. Welcome to the show, Dr. Greenblatt.
It's very good to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
So I want to just jump right into it and kind of ask you, what's wrong with psychiatry today?
Well, there's a lot of frustration among clinicians and certainly our patients because I think we've been misled for a long time as to the effectiveness of the medications that are the core treatment approach that we use in psychiatry. And recent research has demonstrated that these medicines, particularly for depression and many other disorders, aren't helping as much as we would have liked or hoped, and I think the problem is that we're not looking at underlying causes, we're just treating symptoms.
So what do you mean when you say we're not looking at underlying causes? What are some of the things we're missing?
Well, I think we've, you know, kind of disconnected the rest of the body from the brain, and psychiatry, certainly in the treatment of depression, just looks at a list of symptoms, the sadness, the sleep, appetite, fatigue, lack of motivation. And I think what an integrative psychiatrist does is tries to find many physical causes that may be contributing to those symptoms. So it could be hormonal problems. It could be a food allergy. It could be a nutritional deficiency. It could be a host of things that might be contributing. And our psychiatry profession is not looking for any causes. It's just prescribing a medicine for the list of symptoms.
Okay, so I know in your book on depression, the Breakthrough Depression Solution, you talk a little bit about some of these underlying causes such as nutritional deficiencies or environmental toxins. Would you mind just, you know, explaining a little bit about what kind of nutritional deficiencies we see and also how environmental toxins and what environmental toxins can affect our mental health?
Sure. It's a somewhat complicated question because the core of the work that I do, and I think most integrative physicians do, is looking at the individual. So it might, you know, 10 individuals might present with a depressed mood, and there might be 10 different causes. So testing is critical. And some of the deficiencies in essential fatty acids, in trace minerals like zinc and magnesium, or vitamins, one of the more common ones we're seeing is vitamin B12. Those can lead to pretty significant psychiatric symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I've also seen a number of articles on omega-3 fatty acids, as you were mentioning, and how they can reduce risk for suicide. Even a recent article about those in the military who had suicidal attempts tended to have lower blood levels of omega-3 fatty acids.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most important articles that I've seen in many, many years, because we don't have tools that look at prevention. And the fact that we've shown, and there are other studies before that as well, that shown that deficiencies of the essential fatty acids is a very high risk factor for suicide. And what's also not commonly talked about is low cholesterol is also a risk factor for suicide. So these two fats, which are critical for brain function, are pretty scientifically founded risk factors for suicide.
So why aren't more psychiatrists accessing this information about nutritional deficiencies and the link to mental illness?
Well, I ask that question to myself every day, because some of it is
I'm sure you do.
Common knowledge, and there's research now to support it, so we're not just making educated guesses anymore. And some of it, I think, is just the culture, and the insurance companies are driving the 15-minute psychopharm med checks, mm-hmm. and so that creates a culture of medicines. Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot of time and energy, and as you know, most of our physicians aren't trained looking at nutrition or biochemical abnormalities.
Yeah, absolutely. So what about environmental toxins? What kinds of toxins affect the mental health issues, and can you say a little more about that?
Sure. I think, some of the most destructive ones are the ones that are common foods that we eat every day. There's a lot more being written about gluten intolerance and celiac disease. And in my work, that many times the GI symptoms are not the primary presentation, but depression or fatigue might be. So celiac disease, an autoimmune disorder to the protein gluten, can contribute to depression and fatigue. And then there's a whole host of other food allergies that people can develop that can contribute to fatigue and general not feeling well.
Do any of them contribute to anxiety?
I think it's very common that certainly celiac disease, where one becomes deficient in amino acids and trace minerals and essential fatty acids, that anxiety is a very common manifestation, absolutely.
So besides food allergies, are there actual environmental toxins that, like chemicals in the environment that affect our mental health and mood?
Well, there's as you know, thousands of chemicals that we're being bombarded with in our environment, and there's many that contribute to mental health. I think the problem is there's not a lot of good research. Mm-hmm. Outlining that, but there's fields of medicine called environmental medicine where doctors are looking at how toxins can contribute to brain health. But certainly the chemicals from everything from our dry cleaning to our food supply contribute. And newer studies have demonstrated what some people have been talking about for 20 years, is that food additives affect childhood behavior, even in normal kids, not just children with ADHD.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're talking about, you mentioned a couple of times testing. So how do you go about testing for these nutritional deficiencies or for some of the food allergies that would give you a clue as to what people are suffering from?
Sure. I think, again, everyone is different, and we can't go based on just the symptoms. A good screening of some common laboratory tests like a hormone, thyroid, B12, and making sure someone is not iron deficient is very important. And then there are more, what we call functional medicine testing, where we can look more carefully at levels of amino acids and fatty acids and also the food allergies. So sometimes the testing can get extensive, but for someone who's been suffering and had many failed trials of medications, the testing is really the only way to pinpoint what exactly might be contributing or exacerbating the underlying mental illness.
Now, it sounds like you were traditionally trained, and so I'm just curious as to how you became interested in integrative psychiatry.
Well, I actually went to medical school with a very holistic perspective and thinking that we could cure everything with brown rice and kale.
How did that work out for you?
Well, I left medical school as a psychopharmacologist, so I realized that approach was limited. And as a traditionally trained psychiatrist, I just very quickly realized the limitations of medications, and patients were not feeling well. The side effect profiles were interfering with both life and health in terms of diabetes risk and other cardiovascular risk factors. So very quickly in my career after training, got back into what I was interested in, is nutrition and the brain. And then working with eating disorder patients, I kind of got hit very hard with what happens when a brain is malnourished, and that kind of kept me...
Kind of cemented it for you, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you referenced some of the studies that are now examining the true efficacy of antidepressant therapy, and some of them show that, the prescription antidepressants are no more effective than placebo, and yet there are many, many people who feel that their lives have been saved by antidepressants. So how do you explain that disparity in the research and also in comparing it to anecdotal data? It's sort of the Brooke Shields versus Tom Cruise argument.
Right. No, it's a great question because, as a practicing psychiatrist, I've seen the value of medications repeatedly. I've also seen, which is quite common, particularly with the antidepressants, the efficacy of the medications kind of peter out, and we used to call it the Prozac poop out. And so there's some short-term benefit. And I think the literature, we can separate mild, moderate to severe when we talk about depression. And I think the mild to moderate depression, that's where the effectiveness is close to placebo, that 45% improvement.
Okay.
But for severe depression, it's pretty clear that the number is closer to 70%, where the medications do provide some benefit. But again, with a side effect profile that could be disabling and usually some limitations in the effectiveness. The sad part is when we do a study on antidepressants, we determine a drug is helpful if there's only 50% improvement in symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the new research is showing that patients, even though they're feeling better, have residual symptoms of depression.
So they aren't 100% better, they're just partly there, part of
Correct.
The way there. So in that category of individuals who have more moderate to severe symptoms, do integrative approaches still work?
That's how I practice every day and for many years now, because what we might do, for instance, if we were using an antidepressant, which most of them just kind of trick the brain into thinking there's more serotonin or other neurotransmitters, we would also augment with the amino acid precursors so the body can make more neurotransmitters, or the vitamin and mineral cofactors to enhance that effect. So we can integrate the nutritional approach with medications and really find kind of more long-lasting relief.
Mm-hmm. So sometimes using them together is better than either alone?
Yes, and a lot of research from academic medical centers have been demonstrating that as well. So adding nutritional supplements like folate or zinc, or even a supplement called SAMI, two antidepressants have enhanced the effect of these medicines.
Okay. So we're going to be going to break here in a moment, and I just, when we come back, I'd really like to talk a little bit more in depth about amino acids and the nutritional effects of the deficits on the brain. I'm here with my guest, Dr. James Greenblatt, and we'll be back on the Vital Life Radio in just a moment.
Learn more. Live better. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Struggling with sobriety or underlying issues? Need a place to heal your unresolved trauma or PTSD? Come to The Refuge, a healing place. Located in Ocala, Florida, The Refuge is recognized as one of the number one trauma treatment centers in the world. The highly trained healing staff at the refuge offers a loving, gentle, and understanding atmosphere for clients to heal from their unresolved trauma and underlying issues. Visit us at therefuge-ahealingplace.com or call our admissions staff at 866-473-3843. Mark your calendar and set an alarm so you do not miss the highly acclaimed talk show, Holistic Living with Tina Marie and Todd Allen. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central, and 10 a.m. Pacific for inspirational, oftentimes edgy discussions on all that life brings our way, with celebrity guests, world-famous authors, and everyday people dedicated to sharing positive, uplifting messages. Tina Marie and Todd Allen bring you the very best in talk radio discussions, guaranteed to make you smile.
Have your resolutions to lose weight fallen flat? Get serious about reaching your healthy weight and actually changing your relationship with food and your body once and for all. The Anchor Weight Management Program, developed by Dr. Carolyn Coker Ross, is a unique whole-person approach to restoring your healthy body weight without sacrificing your joy in eating. This is a medically supervised, effective, safe, and realistic program. There are ongoing programs in the Denver area, or you can do the program at your own pace, in the privacy of your own home. For more information or to register, call 303-993-5468. That's 303-993-5468.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to The Vital Life, Awakening Your Full Potential with your host, Dr. Carolyn Coker Ross. If you have a question for Dr. Ross or her guests today, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. If you prefer to send an email, you can reach Dr. Ross at vitalliferadio@gmail.com. Now back to The Vital Life.
Welcome back to the Vital Life Radio, brought to you by Princess Know-It-All and the Noble Food Makeover. Healthy recipes, tips on beauty and style, and the true life adventures of a real American princess. Learn more about Princess Know-It-All at www.princessknowitall.com. Our other sponsor is The Refuge, a healing place, trauma treatment in a safe and healing environment at therefuge-ahealingplace.com. My guest today is psychiatrist Dr. James Greenblatt, who is a specialist in integrative psychiatry, and we're talking about integrative medicine for mental health. So, Dr. Greenblatt, before the break, you mentioned some of the other ways in which nutritional restorative therapy can be used with amino acids. And I wonder if you could talk just a little bit about the role of amino acids in treating mental illness.
Sure. The neurotransmitters in the brain, which are now kind of being talked about all the time, we use words like serotonin and dopamine and norepinephrine, those amino acids which causes all the behavior and our mood changes, these are made from amino acids, and these are amino acids that we need to obtain from our food supply. So without adequate protein intake or with poor digestion, the body is not going to have sufficient amino acids, and fatigue and depression are the most common symptoms that we see.
Mm. So, for example, if you eat certain foods that are high in protein, like turkey or milk, then they break down into amino acids, which then make serotonin and norepinephrine and the other neurotransmitters, correct?
Correct. Okay. So vegetarians that are not getting adequate protein, we've shown to be at higher risk for mental illness because they don't have adequate protein. The other important part is I have many patients who are eating the perfectly healthy diet. They're, you know, getting their farm or wild salmon and eating all their healthy protein, but they're either taking antacids or not sufficiently having enough hydrochloric acid to digest their protein. So when we look at their levels of fasting amino acids, they are very deficient.
Okay. So people who are taking antacids like Tums and Mylanta, is it also affected by people who are taking the proton pump inhibitors? I know those can affect the B vitamins.
Absolutely. Yeah, it cuts out the acid. I think the proton pump inhibitors even more so than the short-acting ones, and it impairs absorption of these amino acids. And for some, not everyone, it is a setup for depression.
Okay, so then they, if somebody is not digesting the protein foods they eat, then they'll be deficient in the amino acids, and that then can contribute to depression. What about nutritional deficits in the more severe mental diseases like schizophrenia or psychosis? Are those, or even bipolar disorder, are those related to nutritional deficits as well?
Well, another important study that came out, similar to what you described with the veterans in the military, was a study last year which looked at individuals that were at high risk for psychosis. Mm-hmm. And by giving just a low dose, 1.5 grams of fatty acids, fish oil, it significantly prevented the onset of psychosis. It was like 40% compared to 2%. So again, a very essential nutrient for the brain was able to prevent psychotic illness in a young adolescent prone to psychosis. So I think the essential fatty acids have probably been the most studied. And the other nutrients that have been helpful for particularly schizophrenia has been high-dose B3 therapy, what's called niacin.
Niacin, okay. What about for bipolar disorder?
A bipolar illness is a very strongly a genetic illness that where there's fluctuating mood swings. And we have found there's some early research looking at, again, the essential fatty acids, trace minerals like magnesium. And also what we found very helpful is nutritional lithium. The medication lithium is also anti-suicidal, one of the most effective medicines we have in psychiatry. But there are side effects, particularly some very damaging side effects like kidney and thyroid disorder. So we use very low dosages of lithium, 5 milligrams, not much, slightly more than you would get in your diet. And that can help prevent the mood swings of bipolar illness.
So this is lithium orotate, the over-the-counter dietary supplement?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's really good news because the medications for bipolar aren't always effective, and as you say, they have a lot of side effects.
Yeah, it's not something that we would use if someone is actively psychotic or suicidal, but if someone's in what we call a euthymic state, but with a bipolar illness, this lithium orotate has prevented the ups and downs of this illness.
That's amazing. Why is magnesium, and you also mentioned zinc earlier, why are they important in mental health?
Well, zinc is critical for a number of reasons. The first book I wrote on anorexia really is a detailed description of how zinc plays a role in brain function and appetite and digestion, and that how vegetarian adolescents sometimes get deficient in zinc if they're kind of genetically vulnerable to this illness, and that creates the start of anorexia for many girls. The receptors in the brain, the two major ones, the serotonin and something called the NMDA receptor, require zinc as a key cofactor, and without adequate zinc, these receptors don't work well. And there are significant psychiatric symptoms.
Mm-hmm. I know also that zinc is important in the metabolism of omega-3 fatty acids or fish oil, which you've already mentioned in several places is important.
Yeah, when you talk about zinc and magnesium, there are hundreds of different enzymes and endless kinds of physiological effects, and that's why they're just critical. And there are lots of environmental toxins that bind zinc, you had asked earlier, and I think that's one of the key reasons that these environmental pollutants affect us is because it binds zinc and creates some zinc deficiency. And magnesium is also a very common deficiency in the anxiety disorders.
Mm-hmm.
And as one gets more stressed and anxious and cortisol goes up, magnesium tends to get depleted, and it creates a vicious cycle of anxiety, insomnia, and then lower magnesium.
So do you use certain protocols for integrative psychiatry, or because I know you talk about something you call personalized medicine. So if someone comes to you with depression or bipolar illness, how do you approach them to help them?
I wish I had said protocols. That's been the frustrating part, because it's not one size fits all, and it is sometimes time-consuming. And the individual approach really is the only thing that I've found of value. So it's really looking at the individual. The history and the genetics are very important. And then looking at these metabolic parameters and developing a treatment program based on that.
So are there any supplements that you recommend to almost all your patients who have depression, for example?
Well, I think the core ones would be the omega-3 fatty acids.
Mm-hmm.
The trace minerals, so, you know, zinc and magnesium. And, you know, I think that for many of the patients that we're seeing with depression, that enhancing the amino acids, so it's providing what we call the amino acid precursors, and that would be the 5-HTP and tyrosine with the B vitamins, would probably be the four common things that are usually required for patients struggling with depression.
What about for anxiety? Are there any differences there? I know you mentioned magnesium. I haven't seen a lot on omega-3s for anxiety. I'm not sure where we stand with that.
Yeah, there's been not much. A few studies looking at social anxiety with the omega-3s. I would say the most common that I'm seeing is actually a B12 deficiency and magnesium deficiency. So those are the two kind of hallmark nutritional interventions that I use for anxiety.
Okay. So one of the types of patients that I often see are people who are wanting to get off of prescription medications. And I know that there are a lot of problems in withdrawing from antidepressants, for example. What are some of the difficulties that you've seen with patients trying to get off of these medicines?
Well, it's been a very frustrating, overwhelming situation for many patients who no longer need the medication for treating depression, but their body is so dependent on the changes that have occurred in the brain, and they can't get off, particularly the SSRIs.
Mm-hmm.
So we've, and as I've done this, the longer I do it, the slower I'm actually tapering somebody off. So it used to be a month or two, now it might be 6 months if someone's had problems. But nutritional interventions can make it a lot easier. There are times that we would actually use these amino acid precursors, again, the 5-HTP and tyrosine, for a couple months before we begin the withdrawal.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the herb St. John's wort can help withdrawal, as well as the B vitamin inositol. But I usually taper down very slowly, sometimes having to make compounded doses of very small amounts to taper somebody off these medications.
Okay. The other category that people have a really hard time getting off of are the prescription medications for anxiety, such as the benzodiazepines, Ativan, Xanax, and those. Have you had any success using alternative therapies in helping them get off? And we just have less than a minute, so maybe you can get us started with that conversation.
Sure. There are some nutritional interventions. Maybe I'll talk about after the break. But I think the most important thing is stopping the medicines without tapering them. I just saw somebody who had, you know, went down from 3 milligrams of a Klonopin to none within a day or two and had significant withdrawal. So the medications do need to be tapered very, very slowly. And then nutritional interventions can be helpful as well.
Okay. So when we come back, I'd like to hear a little bit more about the nutritional interventions for tapering off of the anti-anxiety medicines. And we'll talk more about nutritional therapies for both eating disorders and mental health issues such as depression, anxiety, and bipolar. So we'll be back in a moment with my guest, Dr. James Greenblatt, talking about his books, Answers to Anorexia and The Breakthrough Depression Solution, on the Vital Life Radio. Back in a moment.
helping you make informed decisions for your life. This is Voice America Health and Wellness.
Have your resolutions to lose weight fallen flat? Get serious about reaching your healthy weight and actually changing your relationship with food and your body once and for all. The Anchor Weight Management Program, developed by Dr. Carolyn Coker Ross, is a unique whole-person approach to restoring your healthy body weight without sacrificing your joy in eating. This is a medically supervised, effective, safe, and realistic program. There are ongoing programs in the Denver area, or you can do the program at your own pace, in the privacy of your own home. For more information or to register, call 303-993-5468. That's 303-993-5468.
Are you ready to go green?
You've asked, and we've heard you. Voice America presents the Green Talk Network. Environmental topics are at the forefront of our society, and the Green Talk Network is here to keep you up to date on the latest trends and new innovations for the eco-conscious lifestyle. We'll help promote a variety of ideas on the environment, from global warming issues to how you can become more eco-friendly in your daily activities. Be a part of the solution, not the problem. Visit the Green Talk Network page on voiceamerica.com and tune in to help spread the green.
Struggling with sobriety or underlying issues? Need a place to heal your unresolved trauma or PTSD? Come to The Refuge, a healing place. Located in Ocala, Florida, The Refuge is recognized as one of the number one trauma treatment centers in the world. The highly trained healing staff at The Refuge offers a loving, gentle, and understanding atmosphere for clients to heal from their unresolved trauma and underlying issues. Visit us at therefuge-ahealingplace.com or call our admissions staff at 866-473-3843.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to The Vital Life, Awakening Your Full Potential with your host, Dr. Carolyn Coker Ross. If you have a question for Dr. Ross or her guests today, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. If you prefer to send an email, you can reach Dr. Ross at vitalliferadio@gmail.com. Now back to The Vital Life.
You're back with the Vital Life Radio, brought to you by our sponsors, Princess Know-It-All at www.princessknowitall.com and The Refuge, a healing place at www.therefuge-ahealingplace.com, where trauma treatment is offered in a safe and healing environment. My guest today is Dr. James Greenblatt, who's a well-known integrative medicine psychiatrist, who uses nutritional interventions in psychiatry and in treating eating disorders. He has an integrative psychiatric practice near Boston and is also a clinical professor, assistant clinical professor at Tufts Medical School. So, Dr. Greenblatt, before the break, we were just talking about how hard it is to get off of some of the prescription treatments for anxiety, such as hopefully we don't use Valium very much anymore, but Xanax and Ativan and Klonopin. So what are some of the nutritional therapies that you've used in that way?
Well, I think there are a couple of things that have been helpful. Again, the importance is to taper slowly. There's one medication that I think should be mentioned, medicine that I use called Neurontin, which can help also taper somebody down. But the nutritional interventions are vitamin B3, actually the niacinamide form, and sometimes we use up to 1,000 milligrams three times a day, and that seems to help the withdrawal from benzodiazepines. And then magnesium, as much magnesium as the individuals can tolerate, sometimes it's 300 to 600 milligrams, will also help some of the withdrawal from the benzodiazepines. The important is to go very slow, but it's usually quite manageable.
Oh, that's I didn't know about the niacinamide. That's really interesting.
Yeah, it seems to work on the benzodiazepine receptors in the brain, and if you get a high enough dose, you can get some symptomatic relief and make it easier.
Well, let's shift and talk about how you approach eating disorders. And you have a book called Answers to Anorexia. Can you tell us a little bit about the integrative approach that you use?
Sure. I was kind of new to the eating disorder world about 10 years ago, and just was really overwhelmed by the real tragic both treatment as well as the outcomes, where I found myself treating a disorder with the highest suicide rate and than any other illness in psychiatry, and I did not know that before I was kind of embedded in this field 10 years ago. And it was very frustrating because I felt that we were having a revolving door treatment in the hospital as patients got better and left and they came back. Mm-hmm. And I got back to kind of my interest in medicine, which was nutrition and brain function, and realized that nutrition was a very minimal part of the treatment protocol. And as I looked at the history and understood this disorder better, it became clear to me that certainly anorexia was a disorder of malnutrition, and it was that starved brain that was creating the delusions of being fat, as well as the GI symptoms that are so common, as well as the anxiety symptoms. And as we started being more aggressive about the nutritional supplementation, patients started feeling better. And that's been the core of the work that I've been doing over the past 10 years, is looking at more aggressive nutritional supplementation for this.
And are you talking about using, I know you mentioned zinc, but what are some of the other nutritional interventions that have been successful in anorexia?
Well, I think zinc has been the core, because the lack of zinc starts this the lack of appetite, which makes it easy to restrict. So zinc has been the core piece. But to me, the zinc, the essential fatty acids, and the B vitamins are the most important. We look at a lot of patients that had some of the B vitamin deficiencies, everything from pellagra, that they look like are anorexics. So high-dose B vitamins, the essential fatty acids, and zinc have been the most important in my experience. But they're pretty much malnourished, and their aggressive trace mineral and vitamin supplementation is very important in the refeeding process, as well as, I believe, preventing the chronic relapse and course that's common in this illness.
One of the problems that many anorexics and other eating disorder patients have is the gastrointestinal complaints and also poor digestion and absorption. So how do you ensure that your vitamins and minerals are, you know, actually being absorbed?
I think one of the most important and one of the, you know, few things that patients thank us for is just putting them on digestive enzymes. When I ran the inpatient unit that was part of the admission orders, digestive enzymes for every patient, as well as probiotics. And some of that distended stomach, the GI distress that's so common, is completely eliminated. We don't eliminate the eating disorder and the thought process as quickly, but the GI disturbances often can be helped by the digestive enzymes and probiotics.
So how low of a, you know, how thin of an anorexic responds to this approach? Because we have, you know, I'm sure in your practice you see some of the patients who are just extremely ill and may have, you know, body mass indexes below 16, 15, even 14. Does this approach work for them as well as for the ones who are a little heavier?
Yeah, we've done it on with individuals with, you know, extremely low BMIs, 13 and 14. Obviously, the refeeding process is much slower, but that nutritional support is critical. And the healthy food and eating is clearly the best medicine, and getting our patients to eat. But oftentimes, we've needed to resort to NG feeding and nutritional supplement to get the patients at a point where they're kind of able to tolerate food.
Mm-hmm. And you mean NG feeding, which is tube feeding?
Correct.
Okay. All right. So you've been able to, do you use the supplements even when you're tube feeding, say a liquid form, or how are you doing that?
Yeah, I mean, again, for a lot of the feeds and the food that the patients are eating are lack of are deficient in these trace minerals and these essential fatty acids. So we would be mixing the essential fatty acids in the tube feedings, or many of the patients, you know, are willing to really engage in the nutritional therapy because they want their GI system to get better. They want to be less anxious. So if we can engage them in the symptoms that they're looking for help with, they're very often, you know, interested. At times, mm-hmm. the, you know, 5 or 10 calories in the fatty acid pill can be overwhelming, but oftentimes they can understand the importance of these nutritional supplements.
So there are some specific treatments that I believe you use that are not commonly used in other facilities that treat eating disorders and mental illness, such as, you know, referenced EEG. Can you tell us about some of the treatments and also if you have any more to add on testing that people undergo who want this integrative approach?
Sure. I think the reference EEG has been a real critical tool for me to extend my concept of personalized medicine, because with nutrition I can do a lot of the testing and I can find out what someone is deficient in, and that's been incredibly helpful. With our medications, the field of psychiatry is pretty much continuing to just make guesses, educated guesses. So the reference EEG is just a database, essentially, where someone has a QEEG that's put into a database where we can predict which medications might be most helpful. And two studies have been done, one on treatment-refractory depression that came out of Stanford, and we just published one on eating disorder patients with depression. Mm. And we get different medication sensitivity, so we can predict which patients would do well on Neurontin or Lamictal, or which would do better on the antidepressants or even the stimulants. And with that guide, it's been helping us provide some medication relief for these patients.
And are there any trends or patterns that you're seeing for your eating disorder patients with depression as to which medications work better, or is it truly individual?
Well, there's actually been a couple trends that have been fascinating in that a good percentage, almost half of the patients, actually required a stimulant medication, which people would see as an appetite suppressant. But I believe the process of starvation actually changes the brain where the stimulants are important. And so looking at the combination of a mood stabilizer or Neurontin and a stimulant has been a surprisingly helpful intervention that we found, monitoring kind of weight loss and appetite suppression. But for some individuals, we've had low dose of a stimulant actually enhance their appetite, and they've been able to eat better.
So by stimulant, are you talking about the medicines we commonly use for ADD, such as Adderall or Ritalin, or is that?
Yes, the traditional stimulants. And sometimes very low dosages can decrease some of the obsessional thoughts that interfere with their progress and recovery.
That's really amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's some other groups doing research on the stimulants unrelated to the reference EEG and the high correlation with certainly some of the bulimics more so than the anorexics, but we found a subset of patients with anorexia that have responded. Yeah. And usually it's with Neurontin or one of the other mood stabilizers.
Interesting. Okay. Any trends in the treatment of refractory depression in the last minute before our next break?
Not consistently. I think it's been really individualized. But what we're able to find is usually a combination of medications. People failed multiple antidepressants, and what we find through the reference EEG, that it's actually a combination of this medication with the antidepressant that's been helpful.
Okay, so you mean something like a mood stabilizer plus an antidepressant or an antipsychotic plus an antidepressant?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, great. So when we come back, I have want to talk a little bit more about some of the, what I would say maybe more esoteric aspects of mental illness, and especially any spiritual components that you see and work with in your patients as an integrative psychiatrist. So we'll be back in a moment here on the Vital Life Radio with my guest, Dr. James Greenblatt, who is an integrative psychiatrist, and we're talking about integrative medicine for mental health. Be back in a moment.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Have your resolutions to lose weight fallen flat? Get serious about reaching your healthy weight and actually changing your relationship with food and your body once and for all. The Anchor Weight Management Program, developed by Dr. Carolyn Coker Ross, is a unique whole-person approach to restoring your healthy body weight without sacrificing your joy in eating. This is a medically supervised, effective, safe, and realistic program. There are ongoing programs in the Denver area, or you can do the program at your own pace, in the privacy of your own home. For more information or to register, call 303-993-5468. That's 303-993-5468.
Struggling with sobriety or underlying issues? Need a place to heal your unresolved trauma or PTSD? Come to The Refuge, a healing place. Located in Ocala, Florida, The Refuge is recognized as one of the number one trauma treatment centers in the world. The highly trained healing staff at The Refuge offers a loving, gentle, and understanding atmosphere for clients to heal from their unresolved trauma and underlying issues. Visit us at therefuge-ahealingplace.com or call our admissions staff at 866-473-3843.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to The Vital Life, Awakening Your Full Potential with your host, Dr. Carolyn Coker Ross. If you have a question for Dr. Ross or her guests today, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. If you prefer to send an email, you can reach Dr. Ross at vitalliferadio@gmail.com. Now back to The Vital Life.
Welcome back to The Vital Life. We're here with my special guest, Dr. James Greenblatt, and we're talking about integrative medicine for mental health. So before the break, I just introduced the idea of that there are some spiritual components to mental health issues. And one of the books that I've used as a reference for that is Stanislav Grof's book, The Spiritual Emergency, in which there are essays on mental illness as sort of a metaphor for a spiritual emergency. What kind of spiritual or mind-body therapies have you seen to be effective in either eating disorders or other mental health issues?
I think the field of mind-body medicine is really exploding, both with centers in academic institutions and people understanding the important relationship between our thoughts and spirituality. I think what I've been talking about for years is ongoing research looking at our belief systems. So there's lots of research looking at those that had stronger spiritual and religious beliefs being less likely to become depressed. Mm-hmm. And there's also research demonstrating that those with strong belief systems that recovered better from depression. So in our initial assessment, it's important that we understand a patient's spiritual belief system and work with them and get them reconnected with that if that's part of something that has been lost in the illness, because it clearly does help both recovery and maintain kind of remission for many mental health issues.
Okay. One of the other mental health issues we haven't talked much about is obsessive compulsive disorder, and I wondered if you can give any advice about what you know in terms of integrative approaches and also causes, like nutritional causes of OCD.
I believe obsessive compulsive disorder is seems to be increasing pretty dramatically, and I think that it's very common, and we see it very a disabling form in young children. Hmm. The causes are unknown. There's sometimes infections. Strep infections can contribute to this in young children. But we've also found that there's a byproduct of dairy and wheat. It's a morphine analog that can be detected in the urine. The casein byproduct is called casomorphine, and the byproduct from gluten is called gliadorphine. And these were originally discovered in autistic kids and common schizophrenia, but we've been tracking this now for almost 10 years with patients with obsessive-compulsive disorder. And if there's a certain enzyme called DPP4, and if this enzyme is not working properly or you're deficient, then you don't break down the milk or dairy sufficiently. And we find that these morphine analogs can contribute to anxiety, depression, but most commonly what you and I would call obsessive-compulsive disorders. So we eliminate the dairy and give them the missing enzyme, and often these symptoms can improve.
How do you give them the missing enzyme? Is there a prescription for that, or is it in supplements?
It's a supplement over-the-counter. It's called, again, DPP4, and it's probably more common in those that treat autism, but we've found it very helpful for those with obsessive-compulsive disorder.
Okay. That's really good information. Do you have any information on ADD or ADHD that might be useful to our listeners?
Well, you know, we've been talking about nutritional influence on ADHD for many, many years, and it's nice that the research the past few years have kind of confirmed. So the most horrific part of my career is seeing young children under 7 being medicated with 2, 3, or 4 psychotropic medications, and that population is almost 100% either dealing with a food allergy or a yeast overgrowth. So that is very commonly missed by traditional psychiatry. And then for the older kids, we look at the mineral and vitamin deficiencies as well as the environmental toxins, the food additives, and things like that.
Okay. And you've seen, when you change this, you have seen good success with these methods.
A dramatic success. What I share with parents is that my job has gotten easier over the years when I can do all the testing for food allergies and yeast, but it's still very difficult sometimes if you have 3 or 4 children and limited budget to remove some of these foods and to change an adolescent's diet. But if we can make those environmental changes, oftentimes we can see dramatic results.
So as we go towards the end of the show, I'd just like to ask you, how does someone who's wanting an integrative approach get started, and what do they need to know?
For professional or patient?
I was thinking patient.
Okay. I think that what is available now is a pretty good network of integrative medicine physicians, and I think that I think patients should be looking for physicians, sometimes naturopaths in some states, that are comfortable treating mental illness and that who can do some of the testing. And I would be cautious of someone who has a set protocol for any illness and really trying to help people understand that everyone's different and that individual approach really is going to be the most beneficial and cost-effective in the long run.
Well, one of the resources I want to make sure that our listeners have is your website, which is jamesgreenblattmd.com. And for those who are looking for integrative medicine physicians, I know you can go to the website of the University of Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine, where I was trained in integrative medicine, and they have a list of a number of over 100 physicians who have been fellowship trained in integrative medicine, including many psychiatrists like Dr. Greenblatt. For people who are looking for an integrative approach, besides finding someone who's qualified, are there other things they need to be aware of? Like, I know in my experience of working with people with these nutritional therapies, the effect isn't immediate always, and they don't have that sensation that something's happening as they do often when you take Prozac.
That's a great point. I think that the more you can understand and read about nutrition, and that the more faith that you're going to have, and be patient and compliant over time. And I've just found our tools are from psychotherapy to all of our mind-body interventions are just more effective when there's that healthy biological base by treating the underlying nutritional deficiencies.
So they just have to be willing to give it a little more time, and maybe a little, you may have to change therapies, add and subtract. It's a little more complicated than just writing a prescription for one pill, right?
Yes, but it's also most of the time not only more effective, but more long-lasting. If we can get at the underlying cause rather than just the symptoms, we can eliminate the problems.
And I think that's a fundamental shift for people who are used to just being having their symptoms treated, to be able to focus on treating that underlying cause. Well, I'm sorry to say, but that's all the time we have today. And I want to thank my guest, Dr. James Greenblatt. And I want to recommend his books to you, Answers to Anorexia and the Breakthrough Depression Solution. I'd also like to thank the listeners to The Vital Life, Awakening Your Full Potential, brought to you by our sponsors Princess Know-It-All and the Noble Food Makeover, Healthy Recipes, Tips on Beauty and Style, and the True Life Adventures of a Real American Princess at PrincessKnowItAll.com, as well as The Refuge, a healing place which provides trauma treatment in a safe and healing environment at www.therefuge-ahealingplace.com. Next week, our guest will be Judy Crane, and she actually is the founder of one of our sponsors, The Refuge, a healing place, and we're going to have a fascinating conversation about the treatment of trauma and how trauma affects our lives and its connection also to addictions, depression, anxiety, and eating disorders that we've been talking about today. So I'm your host, Dr. Carolyn Coker-Ross, and I'll talk to you next week. Until then, I wish you good health and vitality.
We hope you've enjoyed listening this week to The Vital Life, Awakening Your Full Potential. Please be sure to join Dr. Carolyn Coker-Ross again next Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Until then, have a vital week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.